sharing with us that wonderful song. Our morning will not end with a wonderful song. It will continue on because we have invited someone who has been in the ministry as a Christian apologist for many, many years. He's not new to our young people. He had spoke a few times, maybe 3 or 4 times already with the young people over here, and more many times at our outreach in Grace Bible Church in Scarborough with Pastor Greg. And also, he is a professor at Toronto Baptist Seminary, a professor of our intern emeritus and still an intern, Pastor Isaac. And a wonderful man who have served the Lord in many different ways, but the greatest gift that the Lord has given him is to give Christ not only at school, not only in the church. The last time that I know, he's part of Millican Baptist. And sometimes you would see him on television defending the faith that he has. And one of the things that I have learned from him is that when you defend your faith, you do it with kindness and respect. One thing that I've learned from him. And I will not take more time. I will give him the time. Dr. Tony Costa.
Thank you, Pastor, for those kind words. And magandang umaga, and kumusta? As you could see, I also speak in tongues, and I could also interpret, as we're told that if you speak in tongues, you have to interpret. It's a pleasure for me to be here today, and indeed, I thank the church pastor and Neil and the board for extending the invitation for me to come here this Lord's Day to speak with you and to share with you on this very important topic of missions. And of course, the topic of missions is an extremely important one. It's part of the Great Commission that the Lord Jesus Christ gave to his church. I think it's one of the most important vocations that the church has to accomplish this great task. We were singing earlier the song, I'll Tell the World I'm a Christian. And I'd like to just quote a portion here of that song. It says here, oh, tell the world that you're a Christian. Be not ashamed his name to bear. Oh, tell the world that you're a Christian. And so I have a question for you this morning, church. Do you do what that song says? Do you really practice what you preach? Do you practice what you sing? A.W. Tozer once said that Christians lie very well, especially when they sing hymns. And many of us come here and we will sing hymns, How I Love Jesus and All to Jesus I Surrender. And then we go throughout the week living like carnal people, living in disobedience against the Lord, living unholy lives. Donald Gray Barnhouse said that we sing like angels on Sunday and we speak like devils during the week. And the Lord Jesus Christ tells us here in this reading that Brother Neil shared with you from Matthew 7, 21 to 29. This is the conclusion of his Sermon on the Mount. The Sermon on the Mount is a part of the teaching of Jesus that we find in Matthew 5, 6, and 7. And it's one of the most favorite parts of Scripture. The world loves this part because many people will quote from Jesus' words in the Sermon on the Mount. They will say things like, judge not, lest you be judged. And they will use that, of course, to stifle criticism, to shut you down, so that you cannot speak against evil or moral evil in our society or in the church. People say things like, do unto others what you would have them do unto you. And what we should realize very quickly is that the Sermon on the Mount was never given to unbelievers. It was never meant for the world. It was meant for the disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, the citizens of his kingdom. It's how we ought to live in this world. We are the salt of the earth, the light of the world. And at the end of this section on the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus ends this section with a very, very serious warning. And it's interesting that when we look at other parts of Scripture in the Old Testament, you'll notice that in the book of Leviticus, when we come to the end of the book of Leviticus in chapter 26, there's a warning there. There is a warning of blessings for obedience to God and curses for those who disobey God. And then in Deuteronomy chapter 28, as Moses brings his sermon, if you will, to a close as Moses begins to close his warnings and reminding Israel of their dedication to God and his commandments. Deuteronomy 28 ends with blessings for obedience and warns the people that if you disobey the Lord your God, he will send you forth out into the nations. He will punish you because you violated the covenant. And here at the end of Matthew 7, Jesus likewise issues forth a number of warnings. And notice at in verse 21, Jesus says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven." There are going to be people in the church who will call Jesus Lord. They will say, "I believe Jesus is Lord." They will call him Lord. But yet Jesus says, "They do not do the will of my Father." And there are a lot of people in churches around this world, sitting in pews in churches around this world, who use the name Lord of Jesus, but do not know him. They will use his name, but they're not regenerate. There are churches full of unregenerate people who think they're saved, but they're not, because their lives betray them. The fruit is not there. And there are unregenerate people, not only in the church, but there are unregenerate people that you will notice are building up mega churches. Mega churches are huge churches where the pastors will give you nice messages. They will tickle your ears. They will tell you what you want to hear, not what you need to hear. And they're building empires on the bones of unregenerate people who do not know the Lord Jesus Christ. And they are false teachers and false prophets. And notice Jesus warns that there are those who will use his name. And he says that those who claim to call him Lord will not enter the kingdom of heaven unless they do the will of the Father. And what is the will of the Father? We're told in the Gospel of John, chapter 6, the will of him who sent me is that you believe on him, the one that the Father has sent into the world. And if you believe on him and you know him, he will give you eternal life. And then he proceeds to warn and says, on that day, and he's pointing to the day of judgment, the final day when he will call the nations to himself. On that day, many will say to me, "Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy your name and cast out demons in your name and do mighty works in your name?" You'll notice today that there is an obsession among people, even people in the church. There is an obsession for miracle healers. There is an obsession for people who claim to have healing powers. And they will bring in thousands, tens of thousands of people into their coliseums, into their auditoriums. And they will claim to have these particular powers. And if you want to be healed, and if you want to receive a certain blessing, you can't just call on God where you are. You got to go to them. You got to go to them, and you have to support their ministries, and you have to give of your money to them, because if you do so, God is going to prosper you. And there's many people like that in the church. They are snake peddlers. They're false teachers. They're false prophets who, like Judas, are using the name of Jesus to make profit and to make money off his name. And you will notice that even though they claim to do these miraculous signs and these prophesyings, you will notice that the response of Jesus is not one of approval. It is one of judgment. It is one of rejection. Because you see, the focus here of these people is not on the Lord Jesus. The focus is on what they do, what they claim to do in his name. That they prophesy, that they cast out demons, that they do miracles and so forth. And folks, there's nothing wrong with praying to God for healing, because our God still heals. Our God still reigns. Nothing is impossible for God. But we have to understand something, that healing is not a guarantee of the atonement of Christ. The guarantee of the atonement is that your sins will be forgiven and that you'll be reconciled to God and that you will be given eternal life. Healing is a side benefit of the atonement,
But it's not the guarantee of the atonement. And so there are people who serve the Lord and love the Lord that have faith to move mountains, and some of them will die. Some of them will have illness, but what we've tended to forget is that God uses suffering and God also uses illness for His glory. And so we have to understand that God nowhere promises us that if you name it and claim it, He's going to give you whatever you want. God is not a genie in the lamp that you rub the lamp and God pops out of the lamp and says, "What are your three wishes? What would you like?" That's not the God of Scripture. The God of Scripture is the sovereign of the universe who uses all things. He works all things for the good of His people to accomplish His purposes. And so Jesus is warning us, watch out for those who claim to do miracles in My name. Inspect them closely, because He says at the end of the day, they don't know Me and I don't know them. So do not be swayed by the fireworks, by the shows, and all of these so-called miracles. And so a lot of these folks are frauds, and they're making huge monetary empires out of people in the church. They're like the Pharisees of old that Jesus said rob widows' houses. They take their money and leave them in poverty. And then you'll notice that what is the response of the Lord Jesus to these claims? You'll notice here that these are people who claim to use the word Lord, but they have nothing to show for it. So what is the Lord Jesus' response? He says to them in verse 23, "I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from Me, you workers of lawlessness." Now please notice that. I never knew you. How do you get to know someone? Well, you get to know people by spending time with them. You get to know people by hearing them, by talking to them. You get to know people by entering into a relationship with them, whether it's friendship or whether it's a marital relationship, whatever it may be. You can sit next to somebody on the bus or on the subway. You know that person's there, but you don't know that person. You know they're there because you could see them. They're not a phantom, but you don't know them. Well, how do you get to know somebody? What's your name? My name is this. What's your name? What do you do for a living? You get to know people by name. You get to know people by dialogue, by communication, and spending time with them. And notice what the Lord Jesus says here to these frauds. He says, "Depart from Me. I never knew you. I don't know you. You're not in relationship with Me." And the only thing that saves us is a living relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. To know Him, to talk with Him, and to hear Him, just as we are hearing Him this morning through His Word. Prayer, something that is so essential. Let's be honest. How much time in our day do we devote to prayer? Some of us leave it to the end of the day when we're lying in bed, and we try to rush in a few words of prayer there at the end before your eyes start getting heavy, and you don't even finish the prayer with the amen because you're already in la-la land. We rob from God, and we're all guilty of this. And yet, prayer is communication with God. It's speaking with God. It's hearing God. And so it's vital that we know who the Lord Jesus Christ is, and that is what missions is all about. What are missions all about? To bring people, to bring the nations into a relationship, a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what salvation is. To know Him personally, intimately, and to love Him. And notice what He also says. He not only says, "Depart from Me, you workers of iniquity, you workers of lawlessness." He says, "I never knew you," but notice how He refers to them as workers of lawlessness. You see that word lawlessness there? That is the biblical definition of sin. So in 1 John 3:4, it says sin is lawlessness. And I want you to notice something very important here. There are people who will use the name of Jesus, but they live lawless lives. There are people who claim to be Christian, and yet they do things which are contrary to God's righteousness and God's holy law. There are Christians who think it's perfectly normal to, yes, go to church on Sundays, but it's okay to have relations with their girlfriend or their boyfriend. And if you think that it's perfectly normal to say, I love Jesus Christ and I follow Jesus Christ and I love him, and then you live like the world, you have to go back to the drawing board and you have to examine yourselves. Because if I look at the church, which I have seen a lot of, and I look at the world, and the people in the church are exactly the same as the people in the world, and they do what the world does, then where's the difference? Where's the holiness of God? Where is holy living? Jesus said, whoever desires to be my disciple must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Do you deny yourself? Is it about you? Is it about your needs? Is it about your wants? Is it about your interests? Or is it about him? Is it about his lordship? We were singing majesty, worship his majesty. All to Jesus I surrender. Do we? Or is it about me and my looks and my impressions and how people look at me and what they think of me? When Jesus Christ says, you are to deny yourself and you take up your cross. And you know who are the people who take up their crosses and carry their crosses? People who are condemned to die. Because the only place that you're going to carry that cross to is the place of execution. Jesus is inviting us to die to ourselves. To take up that cross, that shame. To bear it on your back. To follow him outside the city. Taking the blows to the face. Taking the spit to the face. Taking the beatings, the insults. But no, we're too comfortable in this world. We're enamored by the things of this world because this world gives me a sense of meaning. And Jesus warns us that whoever seeks to save his life will lose it. And whoever loses his life for my sake will gain it. The scripture says, if you love the world and the things in the world, the love of the Father is not in you. And if the love of the Father is not in you, you're not a believer. James says, whoever is the friend of the world is the enemy of God. And how will you know them, Jesus said? Look at their fruit. Look at what they bear in their lives. Because you see, folks, as I pointed out already, Jesus warned that in his church, there's going to be a mix of wheat and tares, weeds. And there's going to be a mix of sheep and goats. And on that last day, he will separate them. The great day of separation, when he comes and he sets the sheep apart from the goats. And there are going to be many goats who think they're sheep. And there's going to be many sheep who think they're goats. You see, folks, the call of Jesus Christ is so serious, that it's going to warrant the judgment of God himself. Following Jesus, you know what following Jesus is like? It's not like, well, you know, I signed a card one day and I gave my life to Jesus and here's a signature on the card and then you're living like the world. That's not a Christian. You want to see what Christianity is like? Try visiting China sometimes, like I have done. And meet the men with the stripes on their back, with the bruises on their body, with the death of loved ones who went to prison because of their love for Jesus Christ and who willingly gave their lives for the gospel. Those are Christians who give their lives daily for the gospel. And here in Canada, in North America, we have become complacent. We've become cowards. We have become embarrassed to mention the name of Jesus. We sing that we're going to mention his name, and yet when we are in our workplace, how often do you mention him to your peers? How often do you mention him to your friends? How often do you mention him to your neighbors? And why do we not do that? because we are afraid what people are going to think of us. I don't care what the world thinks of us. I don't care if you're offended by me this morning, because at the end of the day, I'm not going to be accountable to you. I'm going to be accountable to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I would rather have man angry at me than have God angry at me. I have a calling, and that calling is to comfort the afflicted and to afflict the comfortable. And the Lord Jesus Christ is not mincing words here. Following him is not just a nice thing that we do from time to time. It is a serious calling. It is a high calling. It is a calling of sacrifice. It's greater than a calling to the military to give your life for your country. This is the service of the king himself. They are workers of iniquity. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. How can we claim to walk with him? How can we claim to love him and then we walk in disobedience to him? Because you see, folks, a person who is truly regenerated by God, the Holy Spirit, they will produce the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And so we are told in Scripture, in James, that if you have faith, but you do not have works to back up that faith, what does James say? That faith is dead. And that faith is not saving faith. The faith that does not produce good works in Christ, you know what the Bible says? It's not saving faith. You have a counterfeit faith. Because if you are an apple tree, what are apple trees supposed to produce? Apples. But if apple trees don't produce apples, they have no value. You got to tear it down. And so if you claim to be a Christian and you love your sin, and you indulge in sin, you're not a Christian. Now, I'm not saying Christians are perfect, because before we enter into glory, the Bible tells us we're going to stumble and we're going to fall. None of us are perfect. We're not sinless, but we are called to sin less. And when we sin, we ought to be repentful, remorseful. If you offend your parents, if you offend your wife, if you offend your husband, there's a sense of guilt in the conscience. When we offend our Heavenly Father, we are called to confess our sins. And if we confess our sins, He is just and righteous to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And we're told that if we sin, we have an advocate with the Father, the righteous one, our great high priest who intercedes for God's people before the Father. And so I'm not saying that Christians are called to be impeccable, that they're called to be sinless people in this world. But what I am saying is that we ought to be people who ought to pursue holiness and to love holiness. And Hebrews 12 says that if we do not live holy lives, no man shall see the Lord. Be holy as I am holy, says the Lord. So what does this look like? Jesus fleshes this all out for us. And you'll notice that in the following verses, you'll notice that Jesus talks about a comparison about building a house. Building a house on two different foundations. So he gives an example. Everyone who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall, because it had been founded on the rock. Whoever hears his words and obeys them and does them. You see, folks, you have to understand something. Jesus said, if you love me, you will do what? You will keep my commandments. If you don't love him, you won't keep his commandments. It logically follows. Why would you keep the commandments of someone you don't love? But that's the sign. If you love me, you will obey me. Trust and obey, for there is no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. We're not just to be hearers of the word. We're to be doers of the word. Walk the talk. There's a lot of good talkers out there. I've met a lot of them. They've got the best solutions to the world's problems. They've got the best solutions for missions. But then when it comes to rolling up your sleeves, they're not there. They're nowhere to be found. And so Jesus says, if you listen to my words and if you keep my words, you're like someone who built a house and you built it on the rock. And that rock is Jesus Christ. He is the rock of ages, cleft for me. Let me hide myself in thee. And when we build on him, when we build on the rock as our foundation, we know that a house that is stable on a proper foundation, we know that that house is stable, and we know that that house will not crumble when there's rain and tempests and floods and so forth. But then, Jesus gives us another warning. Those who hear my words and do not do them, they're building on a different foundation. Now notice it says the rains come, the floods come, the winds come, the tempests come. You know what's the fact of the matter here, brothers and sisters? The fact of the matter is, yes, we build our lives on Christ, but Jesus never promised us a rose garden. He didn't say, if you believe in me, it'll be fine, it'll be perfect, it'll be rosy. You'll have no more problems, you'll never be sick, you'll never be poor. You'll always be healthy, you'll always be rich. That is not the gospel. Jesus said, there will be rain, and there will be tempests, and you're going to have trials and tribulations in this world, and some of those tribulations are going to hit you so hard that they're going to knock you on your back. Because when you're on your back, there's only one way to look, and that's to look up. And sometimes God will have to drive you to your backs to get you to look back to him, to get you to look up. You see, the fact of the matter is this, Jesus never said you will never have suffering. He said, in this world you will have tribulation. But be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. You see, God never said you would be free from cancer. God never said you're going to be free from financial problems. God never said you're going to be free from personal problems. But what the Lord did promise is this. He said, when you go through the floods, I will be with you. When you go through the fire, I'll be with you. When you go through the tempest, I will be with you. What gives us peace in the storm? It's his abiding presence. Remember Moses said to God, I will not take the people further unless your presence goes with us. And the Lord promised, my presence will go with you and will give you shalom. It will give you peace. What gives me peace in this world is knowing that the Lord Jesus Christ walks with me and talks with me. He goes with me through the darkness. He goes with me through the pain. He goes with me through the grief of the loss of a loved one. He walks with me and he talks with me. And I know something else, that he is so absolutely sovereign that I don't care what happens tomorrow, because I know that tomorrow is in his hands. I don't know what tomorrow brings, folks, but I know him who holds tomorrow. And I know that he is the sovereign. And I know that he has promised that whatever happens, his abiding presence will be there. And then he warns us about this other man, this man who builds the house on what? He says, those who hear my words and do not do them is like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. Oh, so many people today, so many people in the church are building their houses on shifting sand. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All else, it's just sifting sand. It's moving. There's no stability. And notice what it says. They built the house on that sand foundation. And then the rain fell. And the floods came. And the winds blew. The travails of life came. The tribulations of life came. And beat against that house. And notice what he says. Great was the fall of that house. And folks, if you do not have Christ as your anchor, if you do not have Christ as your foundation, it doesn't matter what you're building your life on, it's going to fall apart. Look at all the celebrities of Hollywood. Our young people look to these celebrities as if they're gods, and they commit idolatry by placing these people on pedestals that have no right to be there except the Lord Jesus Christ. And they look up to these celebrities. And you know, folks, the reality is these celebrities have their lives falling apart. You may look at them and see the glitz and the movie screen, but their personal lives are filled with travail. There is depression. There is suicide. They're overdosing. Why are they doing this? Because they have built their empires on sand. Where's the great Roman Empire today? Where's the great empire of Egypt? Where's the great empire of Babylon? Where's the great empire of Assyria? All these great civilizations that have been known throughout world history, civilizations that were known for their fame and known for their power, and influence. Where are all these great civilizations? You can go visit the remains in the sands of time. That's all that's left of them. The only thing that remains is the one who does the will of God. The one who does the will of God abides forever. The only thing that matters, folks, when you and I are gone, when you and I are out of this world, what are you going to become? Are you just going to be a name on a plaque on a graveyard that people walk over with their dogs on Saturday morning? Is that you? Just the name on a plaque or a tombstone that has faded away. You can't even read the person's name anymore. Is that your life? The only person and the only people that make a difference in this world are those who have made a difference. They're the ones who are remembered. And folks, if I live my life and I have made one person see the truth of God's word and God has saved one soul through my ministry, then I have lived my life to the fullest. I will die a happy man because one soul came to know the Lord Jesus. And one soul is worth the whole universe. You know why one soul is worth the whole universe? Because I know that the universe exists. The universe doesn't know that I exist. Every soul is made in the image of God. So where are you building your houses this morning? Are you building your houses on the rock, Jesus Christ? Or are you building your houses on shifting sand? It may be standing for now. It may be an elegant house, but I will guarantee you, your empires are going to crumble. They're going to crash. And that crash is going to hit you like nothing else. Because you are not made for these things. You are not made to be fulfilled by physical, material things. You are made to be in relationship with your God and your Creator. And Augustine was right. We are restless, O Lord, until we find rest in thee. And notice how the people responded to Jesus' words. When Jesus finished these sayings, the crowds were astonished at his teaching. For he was teaching them as one who had authority, not as the scribes. This was not just a regular sermon that they were hearing. A same sermon that's been repeated, a sermon that's been copied from somewhere else. This was not just a regular preacher. When they heard the voice of Jesus, their hearts were struck with God's voice. And how do you know when a message is coming from God? It strikes the heart. It pierces the heart. It moves you. It shakes you. And that's how the people reacted to Jesus. He wasn't like the regular Joes. His words were piercing. There was truth to his words. There was a ring of truth and there was a ring of reality to what he said. And that is because God speaks through his word. And when God speaks through his word, it changes us. It shakes us. It causes us to tremble and to fear. If you really knew how immense our God was, we don't understand. We don't fully understand the terrific holiness of God. We would be like Isaiah when he saw the Lord high and lifted up. And Isaiah said, I am done. I am finished. I am a dead man. I have seen the Lord. And I am a man of unclean lips. And I live among a people of unclean lips. We would be like the ostrich. We would put our heads in the sand if we understood how holy God is. And so, brothers and sisters, we are called today to be holy as he is holy. We are called today to build our house on that rock, on that foundation. And when we do so, not only will God use us, but God will use us to bring the nations to himself and to bring glory to his name. If you're someone here today who uses the name of Jesus, but you don't live the life that he commands you to live, if you claim to be his, if you claim to belong to Jesus Christ, and you do not walk as he walked, and if you still love the Lord, then I ask you to fall on your knees and cry out to God. Cry out to God for forgiveness and ask him to grant you genuine repentance so that we may be indeed sons and daughters of the Most High. May all glory and honor be to the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.